إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of learning from mistakes and driving change. And I mentioned to you the four-step process to do that. One is to own it, which is to own the mistake. The second one is to analyze it. Why did it happen? Third one is to fix it. So what are you going to do about it? And the fourth one, which we will talk about today, is to track it or to monitor it, which is the issue of metrics, creating the metrics to see whether the fix is working or not. Now, metrics is very important. Metrics is what we call measurements. How do you know that the solution that you have adopted is actually working? Because many times we create solutions, we create what we think are solutions, and then when you actually monitor it, you find that nothing has happened. For example, one of the things that the Forest Department does here in India from time to time is what is called reforestation. So I'm not even talking about the monoculture stuff that they do. I'm talking about the actual process. So whatever they decide to plant, whichever species, then they plant it and they forget it. So there is no monitoring of actually how many plants are growing, how many are dying, what is happening. So on paper you say, well, reforestation, we have covered 5,000 hectares. But come back to that place 1 year later, 2 years later, and there is almost nothing there. It's like a desert. Because all the plants that you planted, they either died because of the summer, there's no water, there's no irrigation, or damaged by animals or whatever. So without monitoring, we are never sure of what actually is the result. Measurements are very critically important, like I mentioned to you the other day with regard to quality, the Six Sigma quality measure. Similarly, for many other things, unless we create a measurement to say what is the fix. So say, for example, I want to fix the quality of my salah. Right? I say I want to have khushu in my salah. Now what is the measurement of that? How do I know whether I have khushu or not? Yeah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the importance of khushu in salah. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the mu'mineen have succeeded. And who are they? They are people who have khushu in their salah. Now, how do I know whether I have khushu or not? So there should be a measure. If I don't have a measure, then how do I know? Now, one of the ways, for example, to measure khushu in salah is to say that my thoughts must not wander when I am praying. So from the time takbirat ihrima to the salam, if it is 2 rakat of salah, then in that 2 rakat of salah, my thought must not move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this period. The 2 rakat of salah is almost never more than 5 minutes. You know? Even 5 minutes is long. Usually 2 rakat of salah, maybe 3 minutes. Now for 3 minutes, can we keep our attention on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now it sounds like almost like a joke. 3 minutes you can't. But the point is that you know and I know what is the actual state of our salah. So if we measure that, and if we say, all right, am I able to do that? Okay, I'm not able to do that. So what is the first time that my attention wandered? Right? What is the first time that my attention wandered? There is a test we do to measure the level of concentration or focus, which is, we say, take a time period, set an alarm for 20 minutes. During your normal working day, when you are doing whatever task you are doing, set an alarm for 20 minutes. Keep a sheet of paper and a pen handy. Then start your job, whatever it is you are doing. You are reading something, you are writing something, you are working on some project. every time there your thought wanders from that particular thing, or every time there is an interruption, don't attend to the interruption, but make a note of that. Just put 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. So maybe your phone beeps, or there is some alert for some app, or the phone rings, or somebody calls, or somebody knocks on the door, or whatever it is, right? Every time there is a interruption, then make a note on this paper. At the end of 20 minutes, your alarm goes off, so this experiment is over. Now count the number of interruptions you had, because you made a note every time. Every time your thought wandered, every time you made a note. So you count and see how many interruptions did you have in that 20 minutes. And the task is to reduce it to zero. There should be no interruption. Your thought must not go anywhere. Now some of these interruptions are mechanical. For example, turn your phone off and obviously the phone won't beep and nothing will happen. So that's something like this. Tell whoever is outside to say that this period nobody must disturb me. Don't knock on the door. Anybody comes, tell them I'm not available, and so forth. Some of these are mechanical. You can tell your secretary to do that, whoever is. But a lot of them are not mechanical. They are in the mind. So instead of focusing on whatever it is you are doing, your attention goes here and there and whatnot, and all of that results in bad quality as far as the output is concerned. So monitoring of whatever it is, the project, is very, very important if we want success. And monitoring means metrics. It means creating measurements. It's possible to create measurements for everything. It's quite literally possible to say that everything can be reduced to a number. If you just apply your mind and say, how can I do that? Everything, including customer relations, including how you treat your family, including what you do in the masjid or wherever. Everything can be reduced to a number, meaning this is what our standard is and this is what we will do, right? Take masjid for example. We have a standard here to say that chairs are placed in one line in one place. We do not allow people to move chairs around here and there wherever they want and so forth. Now when we put the rule in, obviously some people didn't like it. It's okay. There are 10,000 masajid in Hyderabad. Go somewhere else. But this is a rule as far as this masjid is concerned. What is the result? The result is there is a systematic way of praying. You are not in anybody's way. You are not interrupting the saf. Benefit for everyone, right? Some people may not like it. It's okay. Not everybody likes everything. Similarly, we created a rule to say that at the end of Jummah, the people sitting at the back in the row just move the chair forward one row so that people can pass behind you. This is good for you, good for them. They don't have to cross in front of you. You don't have the interruption in your salah. You are praying, somebody is crossing. What is he going to do? He has to go somewhere. He can't stand there until you finish your salah. So best thing is move the chair forward. You are at peace, he is at peace, right? But that effort has to be made. Please move the chair forward. Azim bhai, may Allah bless him, he organizes that. So the point is that wherever you create a measurement, you will find that things will then move smoothly. But as I mentioned, sometimes creating measurements means that you have to take hard decisions. You have to accept that you will be unpopular, right? The biggest trap and the biggest problem with any kind of quality is this desire to be popular with everybody. Nobody is, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was not popular with everybody. I mean, that is my standard, right? If somebody says so-and-so does not like you, I say, well, people didn't like the Nabi also. So how does it matter? The issue is to ask the question and say, who doesn't like you, right? So if somebody who does not like you is not significant in your life, let him not like. How does it matter? But if somebody who you respect and one of your asatiza, one of your ulama, one of your parents or somebody, some friend who you respect, if that person is disapproving of what you did, then you must pay attention, obviously, right? So it does not mean that you don't listen to anybody. You listen to, you choose who you listen to, and that's very important. Listening to everyone is as destructive, if not more destructive, as not listening to everyone. Both are equally bad. Right? One will drive you nuts, and the other one means you have no brains because you are not listening to anybody. That means you will crash. So both are bad. You must choose who you listen to. And that again is metrics. You are measuring and saying, who will I listen to? I will listen to people who I respect because of their knowledge, because of their sincerity, because of their ikhlas, because of their ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. And that's enough. You don't have to listen to the whole world. So, very important to create metrics in the system. And once you create those metrics, so then when you have the metrics, you say, all right, so my fix was that before I take a decision, I will make mashwara, right? I will consult some people. Now, the metric to that is, next time you take a decision, who did you consult? Because the intention is there, I will consult, I will make mashwara. But then you find that you take a decision, you have not asked anybody, you have not consulted anybody, right? And usually we pass it off, we say, ah, wo chota tha, it's a small thing. Issue is not small thing and big thing. When you created the fix, you did not say, I will make mashwara only in big decisions. You can say that, there's nothing wrong with that. Then you have to define what is big. Right? You must say, what is big? So if you say, big decision means such and such, then when you make mashwara, you do not make mashwara in a particular decision, you must put it back against the metric to say, was this a big decision or a small decision? So that is why I am saying, as far as systematic approach to management of change is concerned, if we do it like this, then you will be highly successful. Right? This is, as I said, this change management is a thing which we teach in many multinational corporations. And in GE, there is a process called Change Acceleration Process, CAP. So we do CAP workshops across the world. This is what we teach, which is, we call it unfreeze, change, freeze. There's a process. Unfreeze meaning that whatever you're doing now, unfreeze it and then make the changes, then freeze it. Both are important. Unfreezing is important. Without unfreezing, there won't be any change. But then if you don't freeze the process, then this change is going to become chaos, because every time somebody comes, they have a brainwave and then they change it, and then somebody else changes it, and at the end of that, you don't recognize what you started with in the first place. So it is also important to freeze that process and say, from now on, this is how we will do it. We will do things. This is what we will do, and that is fixed. Right? If somebody wants to change that, then they have to first come and convince you why there is a need for change, because you already went through the process of change. Right? Change is a very important thing. Change is a very good thing. But change, if it is done too frequently, then it creates chaos, because there is just turmoil. The whole time you are changing, there is no sabat, there is no stability to the system. That's one of the problems as far as we as Muslims are concerned. There is no stability, because we have no systems. We have no system of leadership, we have no structure to follow. We do what we feel like doing. You will follow somebody as long as you like their face. The moment Monday he says something you don't like, then you don't follow him. There's total mess. And the reason for that mess is because we do not want to follow structure. If you go back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some other time, I don't want to extend this now, but if you look at that, it was a very, very structured way of existence. Very structured way of existence. And that is why they succeeded, because when they needed to change, they changed. But after that, they didn't change. There was a system and they followed a system. And our problem started when we broke that. And we are continuing with that. May Allah give us the hidayat, inshallah. So this is these are the four steps of change. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll summarize all of them, which is to own it, to analyze it, to fix it, and then to track it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to benefit from what we learn and to follow it in our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.